Welcome to the Business of Government Hour, a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. The Business of Government Hour is produced by the IBM Center for the Business of Government, which was created in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. And now, the Business of Government Hour.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. Across the federal government, agency leaders are seeing the value of building strong and sustainable human capital programs that contribute to agency mission and accomplishment. The U.S. Office of Personnel Management continues to work with other government agencies to work through many of the human capital challenges facing the federal government today. With us this morning to discuss her efforts in this area is our very special guest, Kay Ely, Associate Director, Human Resources Products and Services Division at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management. Good morning, Kay.
Good morning.
Also joining us in our conversation is Sally Thomas, Associate Partner in IBM's Human Capital Practice. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Kay. Good to see you again.
Kay, to start off, can you begin by giving us a general overview of the history and the current mission of the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, otherwise known as OPM?
Sure. OPM was originally founded as a United States Civil Service Commission by the Pendleton Civil Service Reform Act of 1883. You may or may not know that Teddy Roosevelt was actually the first commissioner of the Civil Service Commission, and many people still think of the Office of Personnel Management as the Civil Service Commission. It actually became OPM in January of 1979 with the passage of the Civil Service Reform Act. OPM's mission is to ensure that the federal government has an effective civilian workforce. Thinking in those terms, OPM ensures federal agencies adopt strategies that produce a workforce capable of delivering the services that the American people want and deserve. OPM helps agencies train, manage, and maintain the infrastructure needed to employ a federal workforce prepared to achieve the president's strategic goals for the nation. OPM serves as a single employer, essentially, implementing essential resource values uniformly across the federal agencies. We have to focus on values such as merit systems protection and principles and accountability and veterans' preference. And again, our current mission is to ensure the federal government has a effective civilian workforce.
That's great. Can you provide us some more specifics, such as how OPM is organized, perhaps the size of the budget, number of full-time employees, and the interactions that OPM has with the other federal agencies on matters associated with the federal workforce?
Sure. OPM has roughly 6,000 employees that are spread out across the United States. The operating budget for OPM in 2008 was about $244 million, and it was appropriated approximately $42 billion for the government's payment of the federal annuitants, insurance, and retirement business. OPM is actually organized according to agency business lines, such as developing the federal human capital management policy, which Sally is very familiar with, supporting agencies in the implementation of that policy while still adhering to the merit system principles and supporting these with products and services. It's actually composed of several different organizations. There's the Office of the Director. There is the Office of Communications and Public Liaison. There's the Office of Congressional Relations, the Office of General Counsel, and then seven program divisions. Of course, there's my division, which is Human Resources, Products and Services, Federal Investigative Services Division, which does the background checks for the entire federal government, Human Capital Leadership and Merit System Accountability, the Office of Modernization and Human Resources Line of Business, the Management Support Division, Management Services Division, which is the support function for all of OPM, but there's also the Office of the Chief Financial Officer, Strategic Human Resources Policy Division, and the Office of the Inspector General.
So, Kay, with that overview of the broader organization, perhaps you could tell our listeners a little bit more about OPM's Human Resources, Products and Services Division. What are your specific responsibilities and duties as the division's associate director? And could you also tell us a little bit more about the staff and the office responsibilities?
As the associate director, I'm responsible for managing a very large and diverse nationwide program. I have facilities in Macon, Georgia, Charlottesville, Virginia, also in West Virginia, Aurora, Colorado. So we have a nationwide program. We also have nationwide testers. But just to give you kind of an idea of the span of the Human Resources Products and Services Division, we have over 8 million people who are covered by the Federal Employees Health Benefit Plan. There's approximately 2.5 million annuitants that we're responsible for. The trust fund we manage on the behalf of our benefactors is over $800 billion. We respond to about 2 million customer inquiries a year. We have a revolving fund business that's generated income of more than $400 million in 2008. We've trained over 25,000 senior executives. There are over 10 million resumes on file with USA Jobs. In 2008, we deployed about 900 voting rights observers across the United States. We do that in conjunction with the Department of Justice. And for 2009, we have 250 health plans for our employees to choose from. So needless to say, every day is very different. It's always fun and challenging. My role, of course, is to meet the needs of the customer, supporting the president's management agenda, and providing support to my managers that they need to accomplish their mission. Human Resources Products and Services is actually organized into three different centers. And let me run through those a little bit to give you some specifics. I have the Center for Retirement Insurance Services, which is, of course, the organization responsible for the health plans and the annuitants. We have approximately 750 employees in the metro area in Western Pennsylvania that are in that division. They are responsible for the timely payment of retirement, disability, survivor, and insurance claims. They negotiate favorable rates and monitor the carriers of the health and life insurance programs. They oversee some of the other new insurance options that we have, such as dental vision, long-term care, flexible spending accounts, flexible savings accounts. And then we have the Center for Talent Services, which is one of the reimbursable organizations within my organization. This is a $300 million fee-for-service HR consulting and training operation. We have about 300 full-time staff in 10 different sites across the country. We have another 2,400 part-time and intermittent staff that do written test administration. And yes, we still do written test administration. And we also have those folks serving as the federal observers for elections. They also conduct recruitment and applicant testing. They do staffing services. They do organizational assessments. They do workforce and succession planning. And then they have the very successful training and management assistant contract that we refer to as TMA. And that's in utilized government-wide. And then one other center that I have is the Center for Leadership and Capacity Services. That center is responsible for the executive leadership and management development and succession planning and custom solutions for products and services government-wide. And we serve about 650 different government departments and agencies. They also are responsible for succession planning. They're responsible for recruiting the promising talent that we need into government, into the management ranks. And we also are responsible for orienting new executives to their leadership roles. We have about 170 faculty and administrative staff, and we have 460 course offerings and services to almost 14,000 different participants annually. So it's a really large, large leadership service. And then also in my organization, I also have USA Jobs. It's about a $10 million reimbursable program. We have about 10 employees, so it's not a lot of folks, but they do a phenomenal job. It's basically the gateway for all the federal postings of jobs. And then we also have an online training program that was one of the eGov initiatives that is Go Learn. It's a reimbursable program. It delivers online training and learning systems and management systems. So it's like I said, it's a very diverse, very large nationwide program.
My goodness, it is an incredibly large portfolio that you have. And given its size and given your broad responsibilities, what are the most significant challenges that you faced in your position, and how have you addressed these challenges?
Well, I think for me, one of my largest challenges has actually been learning the new business line, several new business lines, actually, and their significance to the federal government. And as I mentioned earlier, some of the stats that I shared, the significance is quite large. So it's been challenging, but also very exciting to learn such a new business line. I think I certainly read a lot over the year, but I think that education process has actually helped me bring light to some things that, we hadn't looked at with a fresh pair of eyes for a while. So I think it's been very good. It's been very helpful to have that objective view. We're looking at age-old processes differently now because I'm looking at them differently. So I'm trying to create an aligned and flexible service delivery model that's really tailored to meet my clients' needs. So I think that's been one of my challenges. Another one of my challenges that I'm actually still working on is building a One Harps. And I know people hear a lot about a one this or that, but there's really some meaning for us behind One Harps. The organization was somewhat stovepiped. There's sort of an overlay in business functions. And so I'm looking at that overlay. We're addressing that. And I'm building staff capacity and partnerships within and outside of OPM to help build that One Harps. And then I think the other challenge that I've really had, and my experience in the private sector has helped me in this regard, but really operating as a government business organization that must be fully cost recovery in an appropriated funds environment, that's very, very different. It's kind of a new way of thinking in the business. So there's been a change in the way people think and how it's addressed from a policy perspective and an operational perspective. So I really address this by using what I've learned for the 5 years I was in the private sector building a very successful consulting company. So I was actually employee number 17 when I was hired, and when I left, they were at 165 employees. So I learned about utilization rate and cost factors and other business factors that I might not have otherwise known. So I'm using that to address some of my many challenges.
So, Kate, you've alluded to your background and your work in the private sector. So how did you get started, and what brought you to federal service?
Well, what brought me to federal service originally was actually learning by example. My father was a civil servant and had been working with the Small Business Administration for about 30 years. So I grew up knowing what public service meant. I think I was always destined to be in the public service. After I left graduate school, I started at the Department of Defense as a contract specialist. And I worked at the Pentagon for several years, had a tour with the Office of the Secretary of the Army at Madigan Army Medical Center, and that was a lot of fun. I learned a lot. Most of my career has actually been in the acquisition business. I've had an opportunity to work at several different agencies. I've worked at the Internal Revenue Service, and I worked at the Veterans Affairs Department, and I also worked at OMB. And I actually left OMB to take the job that I took in the private sector. And my purpose there was really to learn more about commercial practices. I remember very clearly that I was doing a speech while I was at OMB and talking about we need to be more like private sector. We need to run more like a business. And I walked off the stage realizing I didn't really know what I was talking about. So I very quickly made a decision to go ahead and accept a position in the private sector. But I always intended to finish my career as a public servant.
So, Kay, as you sort of reflect back on all these experiences, whether it be at the DOD, at OPM, or in the private sector, how have all these experiences shaped your current leadership style and your management style, and what lessons have you learned?
Sure. Well, I think everything that I've had an opportunity to do has certainly contributed greatly to my current leadership style and the role that I'm in. I feel really blessed to have had so many opportunities, have an opportunity to work with so many other great leaders. So I feel really fortunate. I think, though, there's some really key lessons that I've learned. And I think one is really the true meaning of accountability. We talk a lot about accountability, and I don't know that we use the word often, but do we really understand what it means, and do we hold ourselves accountable? But I think when your business depends on it, you really are forced to embrace that concept. So I think certainly my years in government, certainly my years in the private sector, helped me understand really what accountability means, and I think forces you to have a business imperative to succeed. So I think that's been critical. I think also we talk a lot about performance measures and metrics, but quite frankly, you know, that which gets measured gets done. And I think that's the other lesson that I've really learned is, you know, there's another saying that's what you don't know can't hurt you, but nothing could be further from the truth, actually. So I think we're really stepping up in my organization to measure what we're doing and how we report that and really the business reason behind it. So I think that's also a contributor. I think the other key lesson that I've had in all my experiences is that the customer focus is essential. It is just absolutely paramount. Without customers, you really have no business. So I really learned what customer service and customer focus is really meant to be. Even from the early days when I was supporting generals in the Pentagon, I really learned the meaning of customer service and how important the customer is. And I think also I've learned that employees matter. They are resources. They are everything. And I think that's part of the reason it's so fun for me to be at the Office of Personnel Management, because our focus, quite frankly, is the federal employees and the retirees. We really are in the business of employee lifecycle management. And I think that's the other key lesson, is that employees are so extremely important. And I could go on and on about that one. But really, employee success is our success.
That's fantastic. What about OPM's efforts to transform the human resource function throughout the federal government? We will ask Kay Ely, Associate Director, Human Resources, Products and Services Division at the U.S. Office of Personnel Management, to share with us when the conversation continues on the Business of Government Hour.